Coming up next, why you should curse more at work. A surge of new people are heading into self-employment and unbelievable jobs and what they pay. And of course, I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, folks, helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you're here with us. Let's dive into this. I know I shocked some of you out there. Hang on. Don't rush to judgment. There's an article from Healthline. Headline was, why you should curse more at work. So, of course, we jumped into that one. What is going on with this thing? All right. So, I'm sorry. The headline was actually, don't watch your mouth. Swearing can actually be good for your health, right? So the whole point of the article is, it's good for you to swear more at work. So Dr. Kyle Zrinchik, hope I'm saying that right, told this Healthline article editor-writer, this is a direct quote, when people swear, they experience a release, either slight or significant, in physiological and psychological stress. So I don't think that's breaking news to anybody, right? I mean, there's a reason why when you smack your hammer, you don't go, darn it. If you do, slow clap for you. There's a reason why certain words tend to fly out of our mouth in moments of great stress. So I don't think anybody's hearing this going, okay, well, this is new information. All right, now, the article goes on to suggest that swearing at work has a range of other benefits, like creative expression, relationship development, and showing that you're relaxed and being yourself around another person. Dr. Richard Stevens of Keele University said, used in moderation, swearing can be effective and readily available short-term pain reliever. However, here's a caveat. For some of you that are going, I bleeping knew it. It's about bleeping time. I was allowed to bleep and say whatever the bleep I want. Before we just jump into this, Dr. Stevens goes on to say, however, if you're used to swearing all the time, our research suggests you won't have the same effect. So this is not a license to just lose your mind and swear every other word because it actually loses its effect. So I'm taking away from this using common sense. That's what I try to be for you people, that the occasional swear word has all these positives. Okay. So the problem here that researchers are saying is that people are too uptight and too stressed at work. So let the occasional swear word fly because it's good for you. That's what they're addressing. Okay. I don't think swearing's the right solution. So I told you not to rush to judgment. I'm not endorsing the article. I'm saying when this stuff comes out and you hear this sometimes, you kind of go, well, I kind of thought that too. The solution is to come up with a better way to deal with stress. The solution is also to try to remove as much stress as possible from your work. Now, in your work, I mean, there's going to be levels of stress. There just are. There are going to be times where, you know, it doesn't even have to be necessarily bad stress. In other words, it's not toxicity as the source of the stress, but it could just be, all right, look, we got to get after it this week because we've got some deadlines, we had some product problems, and we got to kind of circle the wagons and we got to figure this out, right? And so that's stress that's just related to the work, right? Intensity that creates some physiological stress effects, okay? What I'm talking about is in removing yourself from toxic environments where you're overloaded, if you will, you aren't recognized, you are dealing with gossip, backbiting, all those things that can create a lot of stress. Okay, so the answer isn't always to go, well, I've got stress, so I just need to swear more. It's going to make everything better. And well, no, it's not. It might have a temporary effect, but we really want to deal with what's causing the stress. So let's think about some ways that maybe are as effective or more effective than just, you know, dropping the occasional bomb in the workplace. One, how about taking a walk? Remove yourself from the situation. Change your environment. How about taking a moment to watch a really funny YouTube clip or something like that, right? So we're going to go from stressed and freaking out to, okay, now I've changed my entire physiological makeup by laughing. And if you're in such a stressful place, you know, okay, this is not the place for me long term, and start looking for something else. Now, I bring this up because while they're saying dropping the occasional swear word at work is good for you, it might be good for you from a physiological and emotional standpoint. I'm not going to doubt the research here and the scientist, but is it good for your personal brand? You know, you may not know how a person feels about that. They might not necessarily be offended from a religious or spiritual standpoint, but may just go, I found that to be a little harsh, right? I didn't like that. It was, I don't feel like it's professional. Okay, so you got the professional offense. Yeah, you know, they're not offended by the word itself. They don't like it in that environment. Then you got to think about people that are, from a moral standpoint, their values are such that they don't want to hear that. So you got to think about that too, because that can affect your personal brand. I think we've all fallen into that trap if you've ever let one fly, right? So this isn't about like, this is a license to swear. I don't think so. And that's not the point I'm making. So I think this is bad advice. So I bring all this up to go, you hear stuff like this and you go, really? And I think you ought to have some discernment and some discipline to look into the situation and go, this might be true, but is it best? I think that's the question. It might be true, but is it best? And really what we have to be careful of is, it might be true, but is it best? Is we have to say, best is this best for me in the workplace? Because it feels like a Band-Aid to me. One of the doctors quoted in the study said, look, if you do it too much, it's not going to help. So I want to pull out of this conversation for a moment and go, let's talk about stress in the workplace, because it's at an all-time high. We saw it in the pandemic. We're still seeing it. And stress can really affect us physically, can affect our sleep, and so many things. But how we handle stress can also very much affect our personal brand, which is vital to us thriving where we are and being able to move up. So reducing stress is huge. When we reduce stress, here's the takeaway, we increase enjoyment. Reducing stress naturally increases enjoyment. So think about how much time you spend at work in your life. And if you're in a very stressful environment, cussing or not, right? Taking walks or not, we got to solve this. Because life's too short. You spend too much time at work to always be stressed. On this personal brand, you ought to check your personal brand from time to time. We have a free survey that'll help you do that and get real feedback. KenColeman.com/brand. KenColeman.com/brand. In the news is up next. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Did you know that project management is a really, really hot career path and continuing to grow? It's going to grow by 33% through 2027. And that's why I'm excited to open up applications for the second version of our popular course, Project Management 101. I'll be teaching alongside our Ramsey Chief Technology Officer, Brendan Wojcko. It's a 3-week course, jam-packed. You're going to walk away with tools and strategies you need to jumpstart your career in project management. Spots are limited. Do not wait to apply. Go to RamseySolutions.com/project. That's RamseySolutions.com/project. We opened up the show with a study that says you should be swearing more at work to reduce stress. I knew that was going to freak some of you out. You stayed in there long enough, case in point, in the YouTube chat room. The Cave and Cognition said, what on earth is up with this title? This doesn't sound like Ken. And then, oh, I agree with Ken. There you go. So, you know, just a little bit of fun with that title today. And then Tony Page said, I don't say darn it. Well, actually, she says D-A-M. I don't say that. I say what in the ham sandwich. So that would be your cheesy variety. Very cheesy. And I would also say, Tony, you know I love you, but that's not good for your personal brand either. No adult should walk around saying, what in the ham sandwich is going on? All right, that's bad. So that's the G-rated way of hurting your brand, right? There you go, folks. I'm on it. I'm on top of it. All right. Wow, really exciting news for, I think, a lot of you out there who want to do your own thing. Let's get it into it. I can't talk today. I don't know what's going on. Let's roll it, please, in the news. All right, here is the headline. Side hustles are booming, and the surge in self-employment could prove just as huge as the work-from-home revolution. This article from Business Insider. So, quick breakdown. For decades, and I don't think people realize this, for decades, America has been in what you would call a slump of startups. And we're talking about entrepreneurial startups, right? Not your big business, you know, public companies and all that kind of stuff with a bunch of venture capital. We're talking about, you know, everyday people starting businesses. And so the numbers have been down. I didn't realize this either. So if you look at the share of newly formed businesses, it has been declining. In 1984, according to Census Bureau data, the rate of business starts, entrepreneurial starts, stood at 13.1%. By 2006, entrepreneurial starts were down to 10.1%, and in 2019, down to 8.2%. And so you think about this for a second. I don't think people realize the economic impact, a fire starter type impact that men and women create when they start businesses. So what happens is when people aren't starting new businesses, job growth is stagnant, wages don't grow, and innovation doesn't happen. And so the conclusions are that a low level of self-employment is in some ways like low self-esteem. It affects the economy in a negative way, like low self-esteem affects us. When we don't see a lot of business starts, it does have a dampening effect on the economy. So look at this. This is really interesting. Nobody knew what was going to happen with the pandemic, but I don't think anybody predicted that we'd see what we saw as related to business startups. A few months into the pandemic, so we're taking you back to 2020, let's call it May, June, July, early pandemic, okay? Business applications spiked to record highs, soaring as much as 89% above 2019 levels. And those numbers don't even count the scores of Americans who have begun pursuing side hustles while keeping their full-time jobs. So here's what happens. When people start businesses, innovation is just a natural byproduct because businesses are started to solve a problem. And then, while you'll have some that just want to be solopreneurs, where it's just me, you have just as many of people that are saying, I'm looking to build a team here. And so that's where job creation gets a spike. One more thing I want to cover on this. In the same survey conducted by Payroll, I was talking about some stuff earlier from that survey, more than half of its users started a business in 2020 attributed their decision to losing their job. So what they did was they said, ha, I just got furloughed or laid off. I'm going to go create my own job. So why'd they do it? Control. They want to control their future, their destiny, right? Because they lost a job or their partner lost a job. In the same Gusto survey, 21% of those who started a business in 2020 attributed their entrepreneurial drive to spotting a pandemic-related opportunity. So again, what I said earlier, They saw a problem they thought that should be fixed, could be fixed, and so they went after fixing it. So that's really interesting. All right, now moving on to one of my favorite things that we do here on the show. We call these unbelievable job titles and what they pay. So here we go. The first one is space travel agent. Now, you know you're in 2022 when there is a space travel agent job. For those of you watching the screen, you that's fantastic. For our listening audience, we have like real people in astronaut outfits with their suitcases. That's as funny as that is. That's exactly where we're headed, right? You're walking onto the space shuttle with your rolling suitcase. So this is a real thing. These are luxury travel agents that help human spaceflight companies find customers who are interested to go to space. So what are the certifications and education that you need? Space certification. I don't even know what that is. Now, this is from travelmarketreport.com, so if you want to look that up, go for it. But you got to have space certification. The named necessary skills here are strong sales and interpersonal skills. The pay, well, they're saying it's an undisclosed commission for trips with a price tag ranging from just over $100,000 to $50 million. But just start playing around with really small percentages on that range. Whoa. So if you got great sales skills and you want to be a space travel agent, there you go. By the way, what you're going to walk away with this is you're also going to be talking to really rich people. So you never know what could come out of that. Make them feel great about their space trip. They may hire you. All kinds of benefits. All right, next job title, smoke jumper. I don't even know what it is. I'm very excited about it. Anytime you can see a title named smoke jumper, I think you got to be interested. What is a smoke jumper? Only the most elite firefighters get to experience this awesome job. Imagine parachuting out of airplanes and landing in remote areas of the forest in order to attack raging wildfires. So not only is this exciting, it is dangerous. For the first 2 days of each new attack, smoke jumpers have to be self-sufficient. Many of them get opportunities to fight wildfires all over the country. So what do you need from a certification education standpoint? 1 year of firefighting experience. Necessary skills, you got to pass the physical, and you have to have wilderness survival skills. Typical pay, $16 per hour plus hazard pay, which is about $4 per hour extra. I got to tell you, I would think that would pay way more given the risk involved there. Yikes. This data comes to us from the U.S. Forest Service. And now here we go. This is the kind of job title I really enjoy. Paper towel sniffer. This is real, folks. I'm not making this up. Paper towel manufacturers employ paper towel sniffers to spend their entire day sniffing paper towels. They want to know if their products harbor any unusual or noticeable scents. Certifications? None. You need a nose. Necessary skills? A good sense of smell. And you can make $52,000 a year sniffing the quicker picker upper. Coaching comes up next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are here. The little nod to the chat room here. Fun group here. If you ever want to watch live and jump in, we got a great community over here. Somebody in here earlier said, Just Jamie. I raise ducks. Lots of ducks as a little side hustle. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Who doesn't love baby ducks, by the way? If you don't love baby ducks, you're a psychopath and you need to be imprisoned. Who would not love a little baby duck? Oh, I love baby ducks. So that's really fun. Just Jamie, I really like that. Let me point this out there. If you've got a this is all spontaneous. if you have recently launched a side business and you've had some real success and you think there's something that our audience could take away, email ask at kencoleman.com. We'll do a call, Alex, with that. And it's kind of our audience kind of encouraging others to kind of start that side hustle. We're going to be focusing a lot on that type of stuff over the days and weeks ahead, because we know a lot of you out there really want to start something. So that's fun. I don't know how you get into that business. You know what I mean? I don't know how that happens. I know people that breed dogs, but there's a lot of control on that situation. I don't know about the ducks, but that's... Oh, very nice. Alex, the producer, in my ear, he said, you know, it's might be an interesting industry because it's full of quacks. Very well done. Love that. Milka Ortiz says, nice pink shirt. I guess golf is happening today. Well, you can assume that if it's a nice, warm, non-rainy day here in Middle Tennessee, that golf is involved after work. And that is true. Big tournament this weekend. Maybe I'll do an update on Monday. My first ever golf tournament, member, and I'm feeling the pressure right now. All right? So we'll see how that goes. Speaking of feeling the pressure, you want the job. You want to try to get a better job. But you're like, oh my gosh, it's boring, it's awful, it's lonely, I get ghosted. Well, that's because you're not using ZipRecruiter. They get it. Number one job site in America. You don't need to feel alone or frustrated. ZipRecruiter's artificial intelligence does a lot of the work for you, saving you time by sending you jobs that all you've got to do is with one click apply. And they're also always pitching you to employers that have jobs that fit your profile. So you're doing your thing. And they're out working for you. That's why they're called ZipRecruiter. So job seekers, it's time for you to feel the love, not the drudge. Sign up for free, ZipRecruiter.com. That is ZipRecruiter.com. Tell them Ken Coleman sent you. Stu is up in Toronto, Canada. Stu, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Stu. What are you doing?
Well, I'm close to living the dream. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, great. What's up?
Well, I'm struggling because I'm trying to figure out if, for me, if it's time to move on. You know, I love my job, I love what I do, I love who I work with. But it's come apparent to me in the last little while that not a ton of opportunity for growth. And so I'm wondering if it's time for me to move on.
Give me one, two, or three reasons, whatever the number is, top of mind, on why you think it might be time to move on.
Well, I've had conversations with the higher ups, and I've been given a timeline of 2 to 3 years for opportunity. Some have said, you know, there isn't any opportunity right now. So that's kind of my first driving conversation I had. And, you know, from there, me, I'm just so motivated to advance. I'm motivated to change my family tree, you know, both professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just don't know if that opportunity is there anymore because of the timeline I've been given. And my wonder is, am I impatient? Again, I enjoy what I do, enjoy who I work with and who I work for. But that timeline just, and, you know, matching up with my motivation to grow.
Well, first of all, let's just acknowledge the fact that you're human. There's nothing wrong with you. I mean, there's always tension with us humans on progress, right?
Sure.
I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was saying to me, he said, I think I'm going to go do seminary, but I'm really planning on getting married before I go. And I said, oh, really? Who's the young lady? He goes, well, there's not one. And so I thought to myself, well, I can want to get married, right?
Sure.
You know, my wife and I, we tried for 7 years to have a child. Well, we wanted one 7 years before it happened. Here's my point here, that we don't control certain things. And so we have to decide, am I being impatient or am I truly feeling the proper push to leave?
Yeah.
So let's focus on that very quickly. You ready?
Sure.
Did they tell you in sharing the 2 to 3 year timeline, some specific things that they felt like you needed to get experience on or some skills that you needed to add? Or was it just an ambiguous, well, you know, 2 to 3 years from now, you know, I think maybe that's the time that it might happen?
Well, It's a good question. I started my question to them off with, I want to grow. What skills do I need to learn to make myself ready for that next step? And how does that growth look? And it was, they didn't really give me much feedback at all.
Okay, now we now see that's why I asked that question. So let me tell you something, Stu. In this case, you know what? I need a gavel. I need a gavel so I can hit the desk and make my proclamation. So here we go. I'm going to take my pencil and I'm going to hit my cup. All right. I have a judgment. The fact that you asked that question, by the way, Joe, keep that sound in there, please. Don't take it out of the podcast. I did that on purpose. I'm going to do it again because it sounds fun to me. See, Stu likes it too. Now, here's the deal, Stu. When you ask leadership, what do you have to do to grow? What do you have to do to advance? And they come back with nothing. It's crickets. Then you know.
Yeah.
There's not much of a ladder. I'm not saying there isn't a ladder, but it's not much of a ladder. Because healthy leadership who understands that every human being, including Stu, including Ken, desire for progress and growth. And when we aren't growing, we're dying inside. Yeah?
That's exactly how I feel. I always want to be working towards something.
Yeah, well, they didn't give you anything. They literally ignored you. It was like, go play with your toys, Stu. Mommy and daddy are busy right now, right? It's what it felt like, didn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel good, that's for sure.
You know, you felt dismissed.
Yeah.
I know. Been there. So here's the thing. That is a big sign that you are not being patient, but that you are feeling the push. And the push is, I'm feeling like, it's not here. So there's nothing wrong with looking, first of all. Even though you like those folks and you're doing what you love, the good news is you're doing work you love. So we're not having to kind of go solve a mystery here. We're actually just going, trying to find something we really want. Think of it as a really fine bottle of bourbon or a great pair of shoes you're looking for or a suit. You go, I know what I want. I just got to go find it. And I think that's what we need to be doing now is we're looking outward. And as you're looking outward, you can go back one more time and go, guys, I just didn't sense that there was any kind of interest in creating a growth plan. And I just want to make sure I heard you right. Because I really like this place and I like what I do, but I'm just curious if there's anything specific I can do over the next 2 to 3 years. Give them one more chance, but you're saying it with a spirit of humility. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
You're not griping. You're not putting them on the spot. You're going, hey, you said 2 or 3 years. I'm assuming there's some things that you think I can do to add more skill, to get more experience, and I'd love to know what that is. If you'd go back one more time with that sense of humility and hunger, and they do nothing, oh yeah, man. And by the way, I fully suspect that's what they're going to do, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
So that's then we go, hey, this is not the place for me because there is no opportunity to grow. And so you look for it. Now, as you're looking outward, with the mindset that we have now and what it feels like to be kind of dismissed and not feel like there's a ladder of growth, you know, you need to talk to companies and ask them, hey, what's your culture of development and growth look like? Do you actively develop and promote people? Ask that question in the interview. You'll know if they do, and you'll know if they don't. And then talk to people in the company that you're looking at working for. Hey, do they develop and promote people here? Very easy, folks. Ask the right questions. All right, I got to get out of here. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.